Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's just the perfect time to play Christmas carols. And I spent all weekend listening to them when I wasn't watching football. I was cleaning on Friday, and then I was getting ready for my mom and her husband to arrive on Saturday. And so everywhere I went in the house, I had Christmas carols on my satellite radio. And it actually helped the cleaning go by a whole lot more quickly. I made more cookies on Saturday. Made more cookies on Friday because I was out and I needed some for my family. And then mom and I made a coconut cream pie on Sunday. And all the while, Christmas carols. Do you know my favorite satellite radio channel this time of year? The Hallmark Music Channel. It's all of these old classic favorites and some new ones mixed in, but it's a sing-along channel to be sure. So I've never seen a Hallmark Christmas movie, but the Hallmark Music Channel is my favorite at Christmas time. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So once again, we're asking you in this now week 16 afterglow, or I guess you could call it after math. Either one. My NFL team is what? My NFL team is fill in the blank on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. And again, our phone number is 855-212-4227. Remember, misery loves company. So if you are feeling miserable about your team, well, then you know there are other listeners around the country who are feeling the exact same way. So check us out on either Twitter or Facebook. I also couldn't resist posting a holiday greeting with my dog on Sunday. So that's up on our social media as well. And I did not forget you, Facebook. I did not forget you. So let's talk about some of the premier performances on Sunday. And then we'll talk about some of the teams that maybe are seeing the writing on the wall. We'll also look back at Saturday as well. But because it's been an historic season for the Baltimore Ravens, let's start there. Best record in the NFL, now with 11 consecutive wins. There is a little bit of a concern about an injury suffered on Sunday. But man, it's so much fun to watch potentially the NFL MVP operate, even when it's a slow start. And it was a slugfest against Cleveland in the first half. But eventually, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, they find seams.
Ball is at the Cleveland 39. Justice Hill checks in. Blitz pressure coming. Jackson fires deep down the seam. He's got Andrews at the 10, and he'll run in for the touchdown. Mark Andrews for 6, and the Ravens are on the board. Jackson out of the shotgun. Wants to throw. Blitz pressure coming. Jackson hit. Lobs to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Mark Andrews! Ad-lib to perfection from Jackson to Andrews, and the Ravens converts in the final minute of the opening half.
The Baltimore Ravens had nada. Nothing on the scoreboard in the first half until a minute 18 left to go. They got stopped on fourth down. There was a Lamar Jackson fumble that led to the Cleveland Browns scoring with a Demetrius Harris touchdown reception. There were multiple penalties on the Baltimore defense that kept Cleveland drives alive. But as time is running out in that first half, Lamar completes a pair of deep passes. First to Mark Ingram and then to Mark Andrews. Those are his two favorite guys, the Marks, for a touchdown, which you hear with Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens radio network. And then the Browns so quickly go three and out that the Ravens get the ball right back. And they have that quick strike ability for their second touchdown. The second for Mark Andrews. And so the Ravens score a pair of touchdowns in just over a minute. And the entire game gets flipped on its head and feels differently heading into the locker room. If you're the Cleveland Browns, that had to be devastating to give up a pair of touchdowns like that. The first one, okay, you're still trailing by just a point, and that was because the Browns missed their extra point. But to go three and out, not keep the ball away from Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, give it right back, you are feeding into what the Ravens want to do. Then Baltimore starts the second half with a 7.5-minute drive. This is their element. This is what the Ravens want to do. That ball control that wears down your defense. So they go 13 plays, and then Mark Ingram scores right before he gets injured. So he did have a touchdown before he left with a calf injury. The Ravens are up 21-6. Even without Ingram, their next drive covers nearly 7 minutes. Now, it's only a field goal. But those 7 minutes, you're keeping the ball away from Cleveland. Do you know the Browns had a single possession in the third quarter? That's it. They had the ball for one possession, 4 minutes. That's it. It's really hard to score when you don't have the football. And so the Ravens nearly double up the Browns in terms of yardage. They dominate time of possession. Lamar Jackson has three more touchdown passes. He now has 36 on the season, which is a new single-season franchise record for a Ravens quarterback. He also logged another 103 yards rushing. And for the first time in franchise history, the Ravens are the one seed in the AFC and will have home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
13-2, that's dope. We got a great group of guys. I'm happy right now. I'm startled. We're going to celebrate on the plane probably, but I'm just happy. We've got a great ride going on right now. We just got to keep it going.
It's a big accomplishment. I think the players just deserve a tremendous amount of credit for it because it's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging to win a game in the National Football League. And when you're able to put together the kind of a season that these players have put together, it's quite an accomplishment. It's probably the best regular season in the National Football League this year by any team.
Certainly is at this point. And with nothing in terms of seeding to play for, you wonder how John Harbaugh will handle Week 17 against the Steelers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to Pittsburgh here coming up, but I want to focus on the Browns just a little bit. They, once again, will finish with a losing record. And so they cannot either make the playoffs, they were officially eliminated, or post a winning record in this season under Freddie Kitchens. There's so much consternation, and it's amazing how quickly things change. You remember at the end of last season when Baker Mayfield and the offense was surging, that final third of the season, after they had made the switch, they dump Hugh Jackson, they promote Greg Williams, but it's Freddie Kitchens who gets so much of the credit for the work he did with Baker in the offense, for the record number of touchdown passes by a rookie, for the fact that the Browns were still challenging, potentially pushing toward a winning record or at least a 500 mark for the first time in almost 20 years. They don't do it. But Freddie Kitchens got a lot of the credit for the work with Baker Mayfield. So instead of looking at Greg Williams, who definitely is a strong personality and alpha male, they allow Williams to walk. I felt like he deserved the credit for getting the team focused, moving forward, having the discipline, the intensity. These are all things Greg Williams brings to the table, not to mention he's an experienced head coach. Yes, he's got the bounty hunting in his past. I get it. He's crossed lines. But his guys are typically fierce. And they carry that intensity onto the field. But instead of looking at Greg Williams, they let him go. And they promote Freddie Kitchens, a guy who's never been a head coach at any level and only spent a couple months as a coordinator. But they wanted him to be the voice that would work with Baker Mayfield. They gave him new tools on offense. They bring in Odell Beckham Jr. They make a couple of trades on their running back situation. Remember, they made some trades with Houston, but they bring in Kareem Hunt. They're willing to wait out his suspension. The offensive line is still a bit of a mess, but they like the defense. They got a lot of young talent. They believe Kitchens is the guy that will continue this momentum. except he's overwhelmed as a head coach. Now, he was play calling last year when he took over as the offensive coordinator, but it's not just being a play caller. And it's amazing how much credit he got at the end of 2018. Not Greg Williams, but Freddie Kitchens. And when they promote him, everybody's all excited. Expectations are far too inflated. Going into this season, how many times people got mad at me because I said, tap the brakes on your expectations. How about let's allow the Browns to build a winning culture first? No, people were jumping right to challenging the Patriots for supremacy in the AFC East. Oh, hey, at least you got the division right. Wrong team, right division. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I've said this before, but I'll restate. If it were just about the football, just about the X's and O's, I would advocate the team sticking with Freddie Kitchens because there's been a lot of moving parts. The team had to know what they were getting when they hired him. It reminds me a little bit of Jim Tom Sula and the San Francisco 49ers. Trent Baalke wanted something completely different from Jim Harbaugh. So he promotes from within a guy who'd never been a head coach and wasn't supposed to be a head coach. And now here's Freddie Kitchens. They knew exactly what they were getting, but they thought this was the best way to go. So you're going to bounce him after 1 year? Well, if it was just the football, I'd say no. Because this is the front office's choice, and they knew he had no experience. And I hate the fact that the Browns continue to make changes year after year after year after year. Constant change equals constant losing. But it's not just that. There's a lack of discipline at times. Now, I don't believe that players quit, but at times you can tell there's dysfunction on the field and on the sidelines. There's multiple reports of players telling their opponents to come get me out of here. Myles Garrett harpooned that defense. Now, that's not necessarily on Freddie Kitchens, but he's still the boss. I mean, it's been a dumpster fire. And again, while the expectations were far too elevated, creating this weird disparity, the Browns never should have been a favorite in the AFC. That was not a fair expectation to put on them, a team that hasn't had a winning season since the Romeo Crennel era. But I don't know if they can stick with Kitchens now. Maybe his voice isn't still respected in the locker room, but either way, it's far more than just X's and O's. Now, I didn't have as huge a problem with him getting into what appeared to be a heated conversation with Odell Beckham Jr. on the sidelines. This, I think, if I get the timing right, followed the interception that was thrown by Baker Mayfield. He was trying to find OBJ. It was a bad throw. He was under duress. He threw the ball, and it was essentially a jump ball that was picked off by the Ravens. But there appeared to be this heated conversation on the sidelines. It might not have been that particular juncture. It was just not a great day for the offense other than OBJ catching a touchdown earlier. But Beckham says it wasn't about Kitchens, that that's not what they were fighting about.
You know, the refs making calls, and basically they're warning me that I have one more personal foul, whatever it is, and I'd be out the game, which, I mean, I thought was pretty stupid. That I got a personal foul for a celebration that I've done all year when it's not like a player was in front of me or anybody. It was, like, very unintentional. But it is what it is.
So Odell was definitely heated. Of course we know he's frustrated. I wouldn't be surprised if every last member of the Browns is frustrated. I don't know if they keep Freddie Kitchens, but I tweeted this on Sunday and it got so much traffic on social media that I want to make sure I repeat it here on the show. I believe that if the Browns fire Freddie Kitchens, they should try to hire Ron Rivera for a couple of reasons. We know he brings instant credibility as a coach in the NFL, also a guy who could establish toughness as the bottom line, a no-nonsense approach with discipline and professionalism. He has high expectations when it comes to what his players act like, how they carry themselves. Now, he's not necessarily an offensive guy, but they can bring in an offensive coordinator if they decide to get rid of Kitchens. What he will do is establish a foundation, a winning culture. And the expectations will start internally as opposed to being affected by what's happening on the outside. But right away, he walks in and he commands a room. When he speaks, players have to listen, period. Now, I think Mike McCarthy would do the same thing. I don't know whether or not either one of those coaches wants to go to Cleveland. I get it. There are only 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL, and likely you don't turn one down. And there are some good tools to work with. But they've regressed from where they were a year ago. It takes a strong leader. It takes someone who's not going to waffle in adversity and who isn't going to be tossed about by every last comment or criticism. Neither Mike McCarthy nor Ron Rivera can get pushed around. And that's what the Browns need. Forget the winning record. Forget playoff expectations. How about just establish a foundation? This is who we are. This is what we do. We've got discipline. We've got toughness. It all starts on the inside. They're never going to win until they make those changes. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. My team is what through week 16? Also on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shotgun for Darnold. Bell to his right. Play clock down to five. Darnold takes the snap, drops back, looks over the middle, fires one up the seam. End zone. Robbie Anderson climbs the ladder. He's got it. That's a jet touchdown. What a throw by Darnold. A rifle shot up the seam to Robbie Anderson. And the Jets strike on their opening drive.
That was the highlight of the game, or as producer Chris told me, the highlight of the Jets season. That was his determination. Robbie Anderson with a miraculous catch to start the day for the New York Jets against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And while the Jets were eliminated from the playoffs, they were definitely playing the role of spoiler. This is one of the stunning results from week 16 in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bob Wischusen with the call of the Jets and starting out with a bang. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. The Steelers already had quarterback issues. We knew that. Ben Roethlisberger can't shave because he can't throw. Duck Hodges had four interceptions a week ago. And after his second pick on Sunday in the early stages of the second quarter, the Steelers go back to Mason Rudolph. So Duck gets picked again. Rudolph starts warming up on the sidelines. And he rallies Pittsburgh to a pair of scoring drives. So the Steelers and Jets are tied at 10 at the break. However, fate and football can be cruel. And Mason exits with a shoulder injury in the second half. James Conner is out with a thigh injury. Marquise Pouncey is also injured and off the field. And the Steelers have to switch back to Hodges. He does his level best, but his last attempt at Juju Smith-Schuster falls incomplete. So now what do the Steelers do? They're still alive. But who knows what happens at the quarterback position? Also a little bit of personal flavor to this one as Le'Veon Bell gets 93 yards versus his former team.
For me personally, I just want to go out there and play as hard as I can. You know, I didn't, you know, play any harder in this game than I did in the other game. You know, I play every single game hard as I possibly can. There wasn't really trash talk or anything like that. It was just, you know, guys respecting me and, you know, me showing respect to them too. So it was just fun competing against guys that I used to play with.
So with 1 week left to go, the Steelers are no longer in control of their fate in the AFC. They need to root for the Texans to beat the Titans in week 17. And the Steelers may be hoping that the Ravens will be resting their guys since Baltimore has nothing on the line next week. Steelers will take on their current rival, the Baltimore Ravens. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mike Tomlin, he's got a stiff upper lip. He has navigated a lot of adversity this year, but this is a tough situation that Pittsburgh's put itself in.
Man, I don't worry about frustration. I'm here to win. I'm paid to manage frustrations. I will. It's frustrating when you don't win. All the other minutia is less relevant.
So classic, Mike Tomlin. All the other minutia is less relevant. But in back-to-back weeks, they've come up short against AFC East teams. So remember, they rattled off 7 wins in 8 games. They put themselves in position in that number 6 seed. But then they lost to the Bills, lost to the Jets, and now they have major questions at quarterback against the Ravens coming up week 17 in Baltimore.
Like we talked about, you take care of the ball, or we got decisions to make, and Duck didn't take care of the ball early, so we made a decision.
Will that continue moving forward if you don't feel like somebody's getting it?
You know, Mason's health is an element of the equation now, so stay tuned.
Yeah, so we don't know anything definitive on Mason Rudolph's shoulder. You can imagine that if he could throw next week, that he would be the guy on the field, because Hodges, he's got an interception problem, and that's the one thing they can't stand right now. It's the one thing they can't overcome are these turnovers. The defense is playing well. The defense is working hard. It's not like the Jets rattled off 1,000 points. No, it's 16-10. But the offense is stuck in the mud. But the Steelers are still alive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Another team that's also still alive in the AFC. Crazy enough. Hey, the Oakland Raiders, they're on life support, but their heart is still ticking.
Can take this opening drive in the second half into the end zone. Washington's in, fresh back, cuts, hits, end zone, touchdown, Raiders! Opening drive, third quarter, staying alive. That's the theme today.
Brent Musburger on the Raiders radio network. I like it. Hunter Renfrow also had a 56-yard touchdown catch. And against the Chargers, by the way, last game for the Chargers in Carson, California. You can imagine how relieved they were, considering that the visiting team is bringing in more fans than the Chargers were getting on what was supposed to be their home field. The Chargers couldn't play the role of spoiler here. They're probably happy to be done with that soccer stadium. But man, for the Raiders, it provides them yet another step, a positive step, and the door is still open for John Gruden and his team.
A lot of respect for the Chargers, obviously, and the kind of team they have and the rivalry and all that stuff. And we lost a lot of players. We lost 3 defensive backs. But I'm really proud of Hunter Renfrow and DeAndre Washington. If you really studied the film carefully or watch the game carefully, Darrell Worley, I think, played 4 positions. But a great win for us, and I'm really happy the referees didn't screw up the clock at the end of the game.
He can't resist. John Gruden says he's not letting it go. He doesn't care if this is Christmas time. He is not in the forgiving spirit. You remember at the end of last game, of course, it was ruled that Derek Carr stayed in bounds. It was ruled that he stepped out of bounds when he stayed in bounds. The NFL later apologized because he was ruled to have gone over the white line. The clock stopped, and it hurt the Raiders' chances of trying to run out the clock in a close and late situation. That was so complicated. So the Raiders need all of the following things to happen. The Titans have to lose to Houston. The Steelers have to lose to Baltimore. The Colts have to beat Jacksonville, and the Raiders have to win on the road in Denver. If all 4 of those things happen, it's Oakland who ends up as the 6th seed in the AFC. Crazy enough. Meanwhile, it's just been a brutal season for the Chargers. I think the Chargers and Cowboys, I feel like the Browns' expectations were elevated, so I don't know if you could say they've had one of the most disappointing seasons. The Bears are probably in there as well. The way that the Chargers came off of last season with a 12-4 record, beating the Baltimore Ravens wild card weekend, they were poised. They were poised to carry that forward. but all kinds of issues on their offensive side of the ball. We know everything that's happened with Melvin Gordon. Phillip Rivers has just dropped off the map and doesn't have a contract for next year. The Chargers are 5-10 as they get set to move into the new stadium with the Rams. The Rams also have to be a story, or a team that's in contention for most disappointing campaign in 2019. All right, coming up, we're going to take your phone calls. We've got full phone lines, which is cool. Want to talk to you, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on Facebook. Fill in the blank, peeps. After Week 16, my team is what?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The Dolphins put 8 defenders in the end zone. Dalton back to throw. Has time. Looking. Throws toward the end zone into a crowd.
Oh, got it!
It is caught by Tyler Eifert. I can't believe what I have just seen.
Oh-ho!
The Bengals are a 2-point conversion away from potentially forcing overtime. Shotgun snap. Dalton looking to throw. Looking. Scrambling to the right. He could run for 2.
Get in.
He's charging toward the end zone. He's in. He has tied the game at 35. And this game is going to overtime.
It was one of the crazier finishes in the NFL on Sunday. And I know for the Cincinnati Bengals, the Miami Dolphins, there was nothing technically on the line in terms of January football. But for these guys, they're still playing hard. They still have pride. Some of them are playing for jobs. And obviously, I think a locker room that has good leadership, they're not just going to lay down, even if the game doesn't mean anything for the playoffs. And for the Cincinnati Bengals, what a shockwave they sent through the NFL as they scored 23 points in the second half of the final quarter, forced overtime with no time left on the clock. Andy Dalton ends up with this fantastic touchdown pass to Tyler Eifert. Then they get the 2-point conversion. And as I say, I mean, we've seen the Bengals do this before. They end up in overtime, and the offense wasn't nearly as exciting in OT. It actually took a field goal by the Dolphins after, 3 or 4 possessions. And the Dolphins end up picking up the win, and they move to 4-11. But gosh, this was really entertaining if you didn't need it to mean anything moving forward. The only real fallout from this game is that the Cincinnati Bengals are officially on the clock for the number one draft pick next spring. So they are clinched. They have clinched the top draft pick for next spring's NFL draft. And you wonder what they'll do. I mean, Andy Dalton was reinstituted at quarterback. As much as he's been without his top receiver for a good portion of the season, well, all of the season, and they've had issues on the offensive line. They've changed quarterbacks to use the rookie Ryan Finley. They've got a rookie head coach as well. He's put up some pretty impressive numbers. Now, do the Bengals decide they want to part ways and maybe draft a Joe Burrow? I don't know if Tua is going to come out in this NFL draft, but there's also a possibility. If you have the overall number one pick, do you dare pass up a QB? At least right now, it doesn't appear as though Ryan Finley is the quarterback of the future. So that's quite a question. Or do you dangle that overall number one pick to a team that you know is desperate for a quarterback and is willing to give up a lot? However, do you want to be the team moving forward that is maybe known as the team that traded away that top pick when you were in the driver's seat for a future franchise QB? It's a lot of questions for the Bengals and Zach Taylor. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The calls with Dan Horde and Dave Lapham on the Bengals radio network are always very entertaining. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Gets you inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Troy is listening in Fort Worth. Troy, happy holidays. Welcome to After Hours.
How are you doing, Amy?
Good, thank you.
So my question is the Houston Texans inconsistent against bad teams, but consistent against good teams, which is what they've done with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, excluding what the Ravens have done to the Texans because they've done it to everybody. I'm assuming they are because they're just terrible with the Denver Broncos, and they should have destroyed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the 7 turnovers, but they only won by 3 points. What's your faith in them in the playoffs as far as the good teams coming up?
Yeah.
Compared to the bad teams.
I mean, I like their formula. In theory, I like the formula because they run the ball, because Deshaun Watson's a smart quarterback who generally makes good decisions. He's got real good field vision. The defense has taken a couple hits, of course, and it's not as locked down as it was, obviously being without J.J. Watt, but also trading away Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, you know, they've taken a couple of hits on defense. I mean, I feel like their secondary's playing well. We saw them perform real well against the Buccaneers, but as you point out, sometimes against good teams, they tend to fall back. But here's the deal. They beat the Patriots. I mean, that game was supposed to be a signature win for them. And then what do they do but spit the bit the next week against Denver? So my issue is that not only are they inconsistent from week to week, they're inconsistent from half to half. And that gives me not a whole lot of faith in them, because the problem is you get into the playoffs and you have a really bad half, like they did against the Broncos, say, that opening half a couple weeks ago, and you're sunk. Because a real good team is not going to let you get back into it. So I worry specifically about the slow starts. I don't know why they come out of the gate so slowly at times, but that bothers me.
So do you think it's a Bill O'Brien thing? Because like I said, they've been good against good teams. Like the Saints, they played really well. The Patriots, they beat. The Chiefs, they beat at home. Well, in Kansas City is what I mean. And they probably got over the hump with the Patriots. But
okay, there we go. But, yeah, there's a big but there. You don't even have to finish the sentence. I do think it's a good formula. Bill O'Brien has been befuddled himself by the slow starts. He's talked about it. He said they've spent so much time in their locker room talking about how they have to come out. He feels like they're prepared, and then they show up, and they're not. And so, to me, that's on the players. I mean, he can preach until the cows come home. These are not rookies. They're not babies. They're not unprepared to get out on the football field. They know everything that's on the line. So at some point, you have to be professionals. At some point, you have to take ownership above it and be accountable. And maybe now they've turned the corner. It was a big victory against the Titans, obviously. I didn't like their offense against the Bucs, but I mean, a win is a win is a win is a win. And to limit Jameis Winston was great. So we'll see. I mean, if they can slam the door against the Titans, obviously, that keeps that momentum going, because they are likely going to have to play the first weekend of the postseason. All right, Troy, good to talk to you. Thanks so much. Let's talk to Red, who's in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, happy holidays, Amy, and thanks for taking my call. Amy, I need you to follow me on this one here. Amy, we talking about, they made fun of me when I gave Gruden $100 million. They made fun of me for hiring Mike Mayock as a general manager that had never had that position before. They made fun of me when I signed Richie Incognito. I ain't had no business signing Antonio Brown. I didn't have no business putting up with Antonio Brown antics. And all. I can complain about the refs, but I don't do no complaining about no refs. And here we is, coming down to the last game of the season, and my Oakland Raiders do have a good chance of making the playoffs. I say that, Amy, because Baltimore Ravens going to put RG3 out there on the field against Pittsburgh, a depleted Pittsburgh team. And then you got the Tennessee Titans got to play Houston. Houston got to go out there and perform because they haven't performed. Well, they got to go into the playoffs, perform with a good showing. So they got to get the rep. And we talking about an Indianapolis Colts team got to beat Jacksonville to have a shot at even making the playoffs. I like my chances, Amy, and I want to add one thing for the Chargers, man. Y'all need to move to San Diego or Salt Lake City, man, because I feel sorry for the Chargers fan, Amy, because that wasn't a good look when the TV screen showed the crowd. It is 90% Raiders, man. And thanks for taking my call. As Amy, always a great show. And don't forget, you got to give us some type of a sweet recipe for the Christmas holidays come up before you leave, Amy. You got to give us something.
All right. Well, that was a lot, Red, but I appreciate it. You're right about the Raiders. They need a lot to happen, but thanks so much for your phone call. Merry Christmas to you. Yeah, four things have to happen for the Raiders to make the playoffs, but honestly, it's not that much of a stretch to see them happening. I could see the Texans beating the Titans. That would be one thing. I could see the Steelers losing to the Ravens because their quarterback situation is a disaster. They're a mess right now. Offensively, they've lost James Conner again. Who knows if Marquise Pouncey is going to return. So the offense, they're being held together with duct tape. I certainly could see the Colts beating the Jaguars. That one's not wouldn't be a stretch at all. And the fourth thing would be the Raiders having to go into Denver and beat the Broncos. Now, that's a big rivalry in the AFC West. Denver is generally a tougher place to play. They're playing their best football of the year. Drew Locke, it seems like, is the quarterback that they want to build around now. After six other starters before they got to him since Peyton Manning. So we'll see. I mean, the Broncos wouldn't have anything to play for except for spoiler and obviously wanted to get another victory. The Raiders would have all the incentive in the world. 855-212-4227. Victor is in New Hampshire. Welcome to After Hours. You got 2 minutes, Victor. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan in Patriot country.
Okay.
And the Eagles just drive me nuts every year. You got to watch every game to the last play. I really want to call you about Beckham. Is it a wide receiver problem, or it seems like every wide receiver causes dysfunction in a team, just like Antonio Brown, then you have Beckham. You remember you had Terrell Owens when he came to Philadelphia and San Francisco. It just seems like it's a wide receiver. Every time they have a chance, it seems like it's just a mess with each team they go to. So I just wanted to hear what you thought about that.
Okay, there certainly are some divas at that position. I will give you that. They tend to have a flair for the dramatic. However, to counter your question and the names that you bring up, I would give you Julio Jones. The man just goes about his business and hardly ever draws attention to himself. I give you Michael Thomas. I mean, yes, his Twitter handle is flashy, can't guard Mike, but everything else he does is about the football field. Didn't even want to talk about setting a new single season receptions record. You've got guys like A.J. Green, who also are not anything like divas. Larry Fitzgerald, who is about as professional as they come. So there are guys at that position who let their play do the talking for them. But yes, you also have a bunch of flair at that position, which is kind of funny. I mean, it seems like every year you didn't even mention Chad Ochocinco. He's another guy that at that position. Randy Moss. I mean, there certainly are guys who take every opportunity. But at the same time, I think you come up with others who are a little quieter and don't draw attention to themselves.
Well, thank you, Amy. Have a good holiday.
Thanks, Victor. Merry Christmas to you in New Hampshire, my home state. Live for your die. Boom. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. This is kind of fun coming from Andrew. He says, nothing like coming home to Pittsburgh after a long drive from MetLife Stadium, turning on local radio, hearing your post-game press conference Q&A with Coach Tomlin on our show. Well, Andrew, you put yourself in the right position. We're glad that you were listening. Thanks so much. Merry Christmas to you. Coming up, that record-setting day for Michael Thomas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.